Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast, and I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. I want to welcome all of you who are listening to this broadcast, no matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at, and I just want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, we will pray with you. If you have any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, just contact us at the email address at godswordsman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're given to you. Praise be to God. Once again, for those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's Saturday, and you know it's another heart-to-heart with Brother Lee and Handmaidens, and I'll be joining them on this Saturday. Praise be to God. Once again, I want to, as we await for my brother to come on, I want to thank God for all of you once again who have been listening to us, faithfully following us on Blog Talk Radio. And I want to welcome to those of you who are first-time listeners. While we await for my brother to come on, you know, the Lord talks about worrying and being anxious and, you know, being in a panic. And Philippians 4 and 6 said, be anxious for nothing. And we're told in Matthew chapter 6 about, you know, not worrying, take no thought. And therefore, I say that to say this, you know, about the coronavirus. You know, I had to go to the store today and make a little groceries. And even before that, you know, I had been listening to the panic people been in. Well, anyhow, in the stores, you know, they had just about bought up all the tissue, all the hand sanitizer. And at one time I heard that Walmart, for example, they couldn't even stock it out on a shelf fast enough, you know. And I was looking at that, and then I started hearing some other things. For example, that some churches is talking about not having service. And I said, wow. I said, now, man, if we can't find safety assembly in the Lord, where are we going to find safety at? And I even heard on the radio, one of the people talking on the radio, they were talking about, you know, wash your hands and just don't let your hand touch your mouth. I said, don't let your hand touch your mouth. You know, people, once again, it's one thing and something to be careful, but there's another thing where you just go to the extreme. And, you know, as I don't know if I share this with you all, even on my job, they've come up with some things with, you know, truck drivers who bring steel or transport some things. And now they can't even come in the plant to use the bathroom. The drivers buy no more what they call pot-to-go things to put outside so they can use the bathroom and those things outside. I mean, it just got to pandemonium. I mean, and it's things being stressed and said that, you know, you know, and I was telling some people on the job that what this thing heading to is heading to make people suspicious of one another, okay? You know, even if you cough a couple times, you know, people's going to be looking at you kind of funny. And, you know, and I can see why God talks to us about panic and fear, what it does. You know, it causes you to get to the extreme. Even in the natural, it calls you to do some things that just, you know, you just say, what? Kidding me. And that's what has happened. And I just look at this thing. Now, this coronavirus, if people is doing that out for this, you can imagine when something greater and bigger hit, okay? You know, and like I said, now you go to stores, I mean, they'd have bought out, you know, Walmart. And then I saw that not only were the shelves empty of toilet tissue, you can find some paper towels scarce here and there, and I mean very scarce. But I even saw food not there, you know, meat not there, you know, stuff like that. So it wasn't just empty with toilet tissue and hand sanitizer, and, you know, it wasn't even dishwashing liquid I saw in there. But it was even some foods, you know, that, you know, and I saw Walmart workers, you know, stocking, trying to stock the shelves, but, man, there were so many empty holes in Walmart, you would think that they, in that part of the section of building, you would probably think the store just starting, you know. But I look at the panic that's been happening, okay, and people, and I saw some people still, quote, carrying jokes about it, you know. Instead of shaking hands or touching hands, they touching elbows and making little remarks, you know. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, that with some people, even when certain things are serious and come about, they still joking in a disrespectful way. Now, I'm not saying being in a panic way, being a fear way, but, you know, I thought about it. It's amazing how people can joke about certain things until it hit them. Now, you hear some people say, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die or something. Well, it's easy for you to say that until that sickness hits you. Because you're not, most of the time, you're not just going to instantly die. You're going to suffer. I got to be honest with you. And I guarantee you that you wouldn't be saying that same thing then. You'll be hollering out, help me, I'm tired of this and stuff like that. See, I look at people who talk that kind of stuff, okay? You know, when we was growing up, my mother, you know, she would get on us about, you know, making fun of certain things. Everything you don't make fun of and make a mockery of. If someone was handicapped, I remember, and you sit up there and laugh, my mom would get up and say, don't do that. That can end up happening to you, okay? And I looked at that through the years, you know, growing up, and I saw the lesson in that, okay? And see, people around here making these jokes about coronavirus, okay, in a disrespectful type of way, making just everything funny. Well, I'm not into that. Because I think about the people that have it, what they're going through. That's why I don't make fun of people sick, people that have a cancer. I'm not making fun of them. Because I'm thinking about them and their pain, their suffering that they're going through, okay? And that's what's one of the things wrong in this nation today. There is no respect for the next man. There's no showing of love for the next man, okay? And people make jokes about them and stuff like that, per se, when they're hurting and in sickness, okay? No. And so I said all that to say this particular point. I was just looking at the panic. I mean, here in Mississippi, now I just learned, I think yesterday, I don't know when I last talked to y'all, I told you that there was one case found here in Mississippi. Now, from what I understand, I think it's two of them. And so, more South Mississippi, and it come up this toward this center Mississippi too, but especially down south way, you can hardly find a toilet tissue, hand sanitizer, nothing. And when you coming back toward the center of Mississippi, like toward this way, where we live here in Durant, is more in the center. It started to hit here a little bit more too. But you can find some toilet tissue that is left. Let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, shalom. Shalom, brother. Another great day. Thank God.
Amen.
And
another great day.
Wonderful day.
Shalom.
Yeah. Yeah. We dedicate this time and to our Lord Jesus for the glory of God. And as we celebrate this handmaiden night, we plead the blood of Jesus over us. We plead the blood of Jesus,
Lord,
over this broadcast. So we plead the blood, really, the atoning blood. We plead the blood against all interferes, all against the work of the enemy, in the techno interfere. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over everyone that's listening, over their nation, over their homes, and over their children. We plead the atoning sacrifice, the covenant blood of Jesus to counteract all the works of the enemy. We plead the blood, and we ask that the Lord release your angels, release your warring angels, your ministering angels to go forth. To encamp around them that hear and let them be delivered. Let the angels, Lord, push back the powers of devils and demons and witches and warlocks and the works of darkness. Cast down strong men, strongholds. Scatter them by the sword of the word of God. Pierce the enemy. Teach our hands to war, fingers to fight, to destroy, consume. Give us the neck of our enemies in the spirit in Jesus' name. Cancel all the assignment of devils and demons and witches that come to hinder and to bind. And we take authority over them. We cast them down. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of his might. Now let the love of God prevail, the grace of our Lord Jesus prevail over the saints and over the people that are seeking your face. This we say as we celebrate this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, it's a wonderful day.
Yes, it is.
And we are to just gush in and enjoy Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the gospel, and enjoy the saints, and enjoy life, enjoy associating with friends and people, our family, our children. Oh, my God, just enjoy the joy of life and the joy of God, and just the joy with those that have grandchildren and great-grandchildren and celebrate it and with friends and friendship. I think one of the most valuable gifts that God gives us is friendship. And now and then, you know, you make several friends in life, real friends. And that's always a double, triple blessing when God gives us true friends. Sometimes he gives us a greater blessing, spiritual friends. But it just gives us friends in life, and you know, and it's a thing that's very valuable to people in their family to have friends, to have associates. And sometimes they're within the family members, and sometimes they're not. Sometimes real friendship, unselfish friendship, or just people who are friends, and you come together a lot of time on common things. Sometimes you make friends on jobs and business, or just like just going different places. You make people that become friends. A few of them become friends for life. And I'm grateful for the few real friends that I've made and the friendships in Christ. And thank God. You know, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren is our heritage. So I guess we people at family members should take time and enjoy their grandchildren and their children. And the wife, if you have a wife, especially the men, go give them some flowers and go give them some organic candy, because I don't go for it. But, well, I got to say organic. go get them and take them to dinner, those that love dinner, and take the children. Enjoy a good meal and celebrate life. You know, wives and women are usually always, they want special attention all the time, most of the time. Most of them want special good attention. That's the way they are made. You know, women generally have to be told and not only shown it, that you love them. And it's the thing about relationships. Women like to hear, I love you. And, yeah, well, why don't you know I love you? I'm working for you. I'm helping you doing all this stuff. What do you think I'm doing? No, I just want you to hear. Yeah. All right, it's a blessed day.
Yeah.
And, you know, husbands need to tell their wives and their children we have to speak these things. And then there's the part of the wife. The wife has to often not take granted for the husband. Don't take your husband for granted. And just don't treat him like he's a second thought or something. Let him be precious in your life. And if he's saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you got a heaven-sent blessing most of the time. So let's be grateful for one another. The more we be grateful and kind to one another, the more it keeps the enemy and problems of our lives. So we celebrate Jesus today, the Christ. And we're so grateful for this moment to talk to all people in around the world, and especially the women. We celebrate the Handmaids tonight, heart to heart, face to face. We're just discussing the things about life, discussing scripture, prophecy, and the things of Christ. And wherever you in the nation are concerned and love for you, you may call in, you may write. I guess I don't know too much about the Instagram and all kind of stuff, text you can send. You can call where we are on with a question. We may not always answer the question, but we'll try to get the answer for you because we don't know everything. And is it possible that we make mistakes? Of course we make mistakes. I don't care how long you've been with the Christ, you're still human. It's possible that you can make mistakes, and you will make them. Honest mistake, not just making mistakes on purpose. But I'm talking about just honest mistakes that human often would make. And we have to humble ourselves and say, yeah, I didn't quite get that correct. I made a mistake on that. I forgot about that time. I didn't meet you like I thought this and that. So let's love one another with the love of God. Reach out. And I want to celebrate, Brother Nate, my heroes, about the martyrs of Christ, the people that are going to this nation and dying and going to prison. I'm reading about people from America in prison, because they're taking the gospel over there and preaching in India and different stuff, and they're in jail. So I celebrate my brothers. I call them my brothers of hero statics, because they leave their homes, their family, their loved ones, put their lives in jeopardy for Christ and the kingdom. And I think that they are worthy of mentioning, our brothers who martyr their lives, who go and suffer the loss of everything just to take the gospel. So we in America, I mean, I appreciate the brothers in America, but we're kind of safe and sound and, you know, got everything pretty good going our way. But these, you know, the people that really show us the real dedicated love, that lay down their lives, leave their home, their business, their job, their family, and go to these nations like Syria and Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Indonesia, some parts of Africa who are held by strongholds of different religious groups. I know most of Africa, a lot of part is Christian, but a lot of it ain't Christian either. So, you know, there's strongholds, especially Muslims in many of these nations, other groups that don't delight in seeing no Christians coming. So I put it that way. And then there's Red China, Marxist, Russia, got to keep out in North Korea. Just go down the line. So those people that go into these places, we celebrate them and we lift them up, especially today, because some of them are in prison for the word's sake. And for even the wives go with them sometimes. And so let's lift them up, and that the arm of the Lord will be there, because I commend these brothers, because I'm over here in a safe America, so I ain't got no business complaining and mumbling and grumbling. I said, Brother, I ain't got no business mumbling and grumbling. I'm over here in a safe, liberated, free nation where I can declare the gospel without my head being cut off right now. So I'm thanking God that we don't have to worry about getting our head cut off because we're on the radio, brother. I'm glad that we don't hear nobody breaking in the door. What y'all talking about? What's going on here? Let's go. I'm glad that hasn't happened yet, and we are blessed. And so I want to celebrate that liberty we have in America. We better use it while we got it, because I know we may not have it a long time. But I celebrate those people that have the courage and faith and dedication of Jesus to take this gospel to diverse places and put their lives on the line, brother. The people that are in jail right now for the gospel in China, Red China, in North Korea, and Russia. Oh, my God, in Indonesia, where they cut your head off, and these Muslims, they cut your head off, brother. They don't pray. Yeah. They'll cut your head off. They'll put them. You know, so let's pray for our brother in the church. We got time to be arguing, fighting with one another. We got time to uphold the church around the world. We got no time with this foolishness, fighting, spending time because you don't lift your hands or you don't do this little silly stuff. We got better things and greater things to do to argue, fight about what we call foolishness. Let's move on in Jesus. Love you today, and we celebrate our Passover Lamb, Jesus. Yeah, I just had to get that off my chest there, brother. You know.
Amen.
Yeah, and you know, the Lord wants us to be life giver and want us to be help us to one another around the world. And you don't have to be in my denomination. You just have to be in Christ. See, here's the thing about Christianity. The devil has pulled his junk on us. As long as if we are seated totally in the redeeming Christ and risen Christ, you're my brother and sister. You don't have to be in my denomination to be accepted of me. As long as you got the blood of Jesus, I can call your brother. As long as you believe in the resurrection, I can call your brother. As long as you're born of the Spirit of God, I can call your brother. I know I can, according to the Scripture.
Amen.
So I don't get so upset because you over your church denomination corporation. You said Church of God in, Church of Pillar in, Apostolic Order of Faith in this, Holy Ghost Fire this, the Church of Christ this. That is not what the Lord's concerned about. He's concerned about where your heart and your life is at, planted at, and what foundation you're built upon. So let's quit all this stuff. Well, you're not the Church of God in this. You got the Church of God in Christ, the Church of God, pillar ground with Episcopalian. Lay all that stuff down. Let us be one in Christ. Let's be seated in Christ. Let's be born again, washed in the blood. Let's fight against the devil with one arm and unity of arm. Let's not be divided like the devil wants us to be divided. We can conquer this, take control in this Church of Jesus Christ. And I think that we have to drop our traditions. A lot of our, what you call, I'm only a Baptist. Well, I'm glad that you baptized with water. That's good. And then we can go on and celebrate it. Well, you've been repenting and baptizing water, so I'm a Baptist. Well, glad for you. Well, I'm a Pentecostal. I believe in fill, heal, sanctify, and fill, baptize. I'm for you because you don't move a step further. You move a few steps forward. I'm the apostolic, and I believe in the ministry of Jesus. You move a couple of other steps forward. So let's celebrate. Let's celebrate.
Man.
We don't have to argue and fight. Let's celebrate. The truth that you stand on is God, and we can just celebrate that. Well, I'm a blood washed, baptized blood. I believe in the blood. Hey, I'm with you on that. I'm with you that we got to fight on that. Well, I believe in Holy Ghost speaking in tongues and prophesying and healing. I'm with you. Hey, I ain't against that. Hey, I believe in deliverance, cast out devil. I'm with you. I believe in the visitation of angels and dreams and vision and revelation and holiness. I'm with you. No problem. All right, let's celebrate. All right. Brother Nate, can you hear me? This phone still on?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Let me know if things start fading. Okay. Celebrating that your family is with you, your children, your sons, and your neighbors are there. We'll celebrate, thank God. First, I know my sons and are still here on the earth. We thank God for them. Hallelujah. We celebrate that, brother. That's the good news, you know. Because,
amen,
you know, we feel for Brother Parker, who lost his daughter this past week. And you know, those that have daughters or sons, they're still with you. So celebrate, be glad, and enjoy, you know, your daughters and sons and what they're still with you. And because we don't have to do a lot of crying after they're gone. And we can say, I'd be glad that we have times together. A lot of times, you know, when people pass, you know, we have this, when people die, then they say, oh, I wish I had did this, I wish I had did that, I wish I had did. Well, we can correct that. We don't have to do all that wish I had, I wish that. We can do it now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's not live with regret, because I know a lot of funerals are about a lot of regret. The reason people want to buy a lot of flowers a lot of time, try to make up. But that's all good, but let's not have to spend all this money trying to make up after they die. Let's spend the money on them while they're living. I'm just crazy. I just believe in that, brother. I don't believe spending a lot of money on people after they're dead. That's my personal thing, okay? Okay, I know a lot of people feel like it soothes their conscience to spend a lot of money on people after they're dead. But when people are dead, they can't enjoy that, brother. You know that?
Yeah.
Do we understand that? I don't care how much money you try to spend on what they did. They can't smell no flowers. They can't read no stuff. So I believe do it while they're living. I believe spend that money on their living or give it to their grandchildren or whatever, you know. Because, you know, I know people want to do what they do. They want to spend $5,000 or $10,000 on a coffin like that, make them feel better. That makes the people feel better. It don't do nothing for the people in the coffin, though. Okay? Okay? We got that right.
Amen.
It don't make them, you can spend $20,000 on a coffin. It don't help the person, but it's helped the man that's selling the coffin.
Right.
So business is business. So the man in business, I know he's smiling. Amen. And so let's do where people live rather than wait later and try to make up. All right. This is a rejoicing day. Our president is still there. They haven't impeached him and put him away. We rejoice in our brother Trump. I guess he's a brother. You think he's a brother? I don't know. I guess he's a brother in Christ. Is he? I don't know. Well, I'm hoping he is.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's making that strive. You know, they reported he took the test, but he did not give the results. So he did declare
what test?
What a national
What are you talking about? The virus test?
For the coronavirus. Yeah, it was on the news, on the radio news today that said he took it, but he did not release what was the results. So he has declared I think it is tomorrow. Tomorrow the 17th. He's supposed to have declared a national day of prayer.
Yeah. He did. Good for him.
Yeah, he's supposed to have declared that again. And I
Good
think he declared a national emergency. Emergency. Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I'll say about our President Trump, he's not afraid like most presidents. And I'm not going to judge anything other than that, but he's not afraid people, the Christians are there and talking about prayer on the national day. He's not afraid. Now, he's one of the bold ones. He got a lot of, you know, other little things that he need to clear up and clean up, but he's not afraid to talk about prayer, pray for, get those Christian people around him and to pray. I give him credit for that. Give him credit. The other presidents, most of them ain't going to do nothing like that. They just don't do that. And you tell a lot about them, they don't talk about the Bible. They don't talk about Christian standards or belief or God or relationship. They don't act prayer in the White House or summit or nothing like that. But I give Mr. Trump credit. Gotta give him credit. Okay. Thank God that he got the courage to do that. I'm glad that he got the courage to say, I'm against abortion. You know, you got to give people honor and credit what they do. He comes straight out and says, we're not giving those privileges to no transgenders and all this kind of stuff. We're not going to have all of that. And he just comes straight out. And I got to give him credit that he's honest about that. He comes out and says, we can't kill the babies. I like that. I know we can't kill the babies. He comes straight out. He sides with God. He sides with the scripture on that. Then he'll say, we need prayer in the school, Bible reading in the school. See, he's siding with the living God. And he got a lot of critique things he need to straighten out. But let's celebrate what he do. He said, we need prayer and Bible back in the school. We need to reverse Roe and Wade and for killing all the babies and all that kind of stuff. I'm with you, Mr. Trump, on that. I'm with you, baby. I'm standing with you. Amen. I don't agree with you on everything, but I stand with you on that. Amen. Because I don't see enough of the liberal Democrats doing that. I'm just telling you, I don't see enough of these liberal Democrats, and I sure don't see the socialists saying anything about that. All right, then, we're going to let that alone. Amen. Thank God, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? You got me, brother? Hello?
Yeah, I hear you now. I hear you.
Boy, this thing, the blood against you, the blood of Jesus. All right, let's celebrate the women of God. I want to mention a great woman of God that I was reading about and celebrating the work of the Lord. You know, a lot of times we don't hear a lot about the African women and the women of color, how they were missionaries and evangelists to the nations. We don't hear a lot about that. We hear about the some of the other sisters who have another color or race. But you know, there was great women of color that was used mightily of God in the 19th century and the 20th century. Great women of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we want to celebrate everybody that's in Christ. We don't want to forget about some of the great women of God of all nations and every place. So we celebrate the women that were in the Azusa Street Revival in 1903 in L.A., that some of the great evangelists came out, even black women, there was Polish, all kind of Chinese, came out of that Azusa Street Revival in L.A. So we want to celebrate all the great women. We celebrate the well-known women today. I think we got a couple of women that we celebrate today. Marilyn Hickey. You heard of her, brother, Marilyn Hickey?
Right, I heard of her, yep.
I commend her because she tried to share Christ with people of all nations. And anybody that want to share Jesus Christ as Lord, I can't be against them. I'm sorry. I don't care whether you think women should be or not. Anybody want to share Jesus and Christ and the Holy Ghost, they not of the devil. I don't care what you say. The devil is not invited against his kingdom. So you don't have to believe in women. I believe if they share Jesus and get them to Christ, I think God is not against that. All right, let's move on. So we celebrate Sister and Marilyn Hickey, who's 80 years old on TV, going into these nations where men are scared to go. Brother, Marilyn Hickey going places where men are scared to go.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, at the cross of where Jesus was crucified, how many men did you see there?
Yeah.
I just like to throw that in there. How many men was there when Jesus was lifted on the cross? Where were the disciples at? I'm just talking about our men. celebrating the women, the courageous women of God, mothers in every place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. Today we're going to read, brother, what the Word says. And if you got your Bible and the Word of the Lord, the angel's message, right there, we're going to do let the Word speak for itself, the Word declare itself. We're going to let the Word of God declare it itself, if that's okay with you. And we're going to let the Word, and we got the Bible, and we're going to start out with this principle about. And when we get through reading what the Bible says, speaks for itself. The Word of God is clear. It speaks for itself. We're going to throw it out there and let you consider what the Lord has planned, no defeats, but only planned victory for us. Let us say that. The Lord has not planned any defeats for us. He has not planned
has not
any failures for his people.
He has
but
not
only
planned
victory.
Any failures for his people. Only victory.
And that's like a good daddy. A good daddy, a good father has planned the best for his children. And the good for his children. A good father, and our Heavenly Father definitely has planned nothing but victory and triumph for his children and his house. I believe the scriptures are clear on that. And the devil is a liar. So we just call him a liar right now. The devil, you're a liar. Traditions of men, you're mistaken. Okay? So, what we're going to read, we're going to clear up some things about some things. And I want us to read, first of all, about faith. Faith is a fruit, and faith is also a gift of the Spirit, and you're going to find that in everything that God does, it is dealing with faith and trust and belief. Everything about his working deals with this gift of the working of faith. You agree with me on that, brother, right? Faith.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
Faith. Faith. And if you're going to get anywhere in the Lord, in the kingdom of God, it's going, you're going to have to understand how faith works. Because that's the first principle of the gospel, faith. I say it's the first principle of the gospel. You know why? Because it's one of the most important founding block of the gospel is faith. He starts off with 11th chapter Hebrews. 11 said, without faith, it is impossible, what? To please God. Is that right?
Amen.
We better say it again, because a lot of people think that you can just go ahead and not start in the right place with the right building block. He says, without faith, Hebrew 11, all the heroes of faith that you read in the Hebrew chapter, they overcame, they won by their faith, a great faith in Jehovah and his word. Now, it said by faith. And he says in the beginning, it starts off the chapter 1. You want to read 11 chapter, verse 1. It starts off Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1.
Okay, Hebrews 11 and 1. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
And, yeah, verse 2 and 3.
For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
I like that. Why don't you want to read that one more time? Verse 1 to 3.
It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Isn't that? That's the proper order. That's the proper order with God's working, his dealing, his creation, his redemption of all things. He sets the tone in the beginning, now faith, now faith. Now, faith is the substance of things. It starts out, Paul explains this, and we got to learn to walk by this, because this is an interest, vital part, how we're going to attain the victory and obey God. Now, faith. Now, faith. Now, the God's kind of faith. Not the pampered man kind of faith, but the God's kind of faith. The Abraham kind of faith, the Jesus kind of faith, you know, the Job's kind of faith, the God's kind of faith, faith, God's kind of faith. Now, in the verse 6, it says what? Verse 6 says, 11 and 6 says what?
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that is that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
That's interesting, isn't it? It said without faith, it's impossible. Did it say impossible to please God?
It said it impossible.
Well, I guess we're going to build from that. Now, how did faith come? Let's go to Romans, brother. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Because the Bible tells us how the God's kind of faith comes. The God's kind of faith. Romans 10, verse 17. The God's kind of faith. How did it come? Since faith is so important in the plan of God and his working with mankind, let's see. Do you remember in the beginning of the world, he says, and God spoke and it was? And God's, and he spoke and it was? Yes.
Amen.
Romans 10, verse 17.
The word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Now, faith cometh, so, I mean, you got to keep on building them blocks of faith, right, in your life, right?
Right.
You got to keep building the blocks of faith in your life. You're not through with the faith that saves you, but you got to go on, because it's all measures of faith that you're going to have to attain for the life journey is over with in order to have the victory. And in order to have the victory, because Satan is going to contest you, life is going to contest you, problems are going to contest you, difficult going to contest you, mountains going to contest you, valleys going to contest you, rivers and storms of life, difficult going to happen, betrayals going to happen to you, wounds going to happen to you, attacks going to happen to you. So you got to continue to build what? That building block of faith. You can't stay at one level of faith. You got to move from one level to another level. You got to move from what they call seed faith, but then it goes on to little faith, then great faith, then much faith, then mountain moving faith, then overcoming faith. So we got to keep moving. Is that right?
Amen. Amen.
Can't stop it. Amen. We're gonna go to the day that we're gonna need mountain moving faith. Amen. Then we're gonna have to have that modest kind of faith. The modest kind of faith. When they put them on TV, those Christians, when the movement put them on TV back there, they're getting ready to cut their heads off. They try to make them to renounce Jesus, but they laid down their life.
Right.
They would not deny Jesus. They died in the faith. They died holding fast. And, you know, we got to come to the place where we won't renounce Jesus at the face of death. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. Modest
Amen.
Faith. Hallelujah. Now, there's the... How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The preached word, the taught word, through the exalted word, the prophetic word, the prayer word, the faith you get when you study, the faith you meditate when you ponder the word. These are the means that you receive this faith. Then there's another type of faith that God imparts by the Spirit called the Spirit of Faith. In 1 Corinthians, there is an anointing that God imparts to people called the gift of faith. And then at times he would impart to you special faith for a circumstance that you don't have faith for. All right. Now, let's read something in, have you got the word of the Lord there? Message 64:4, the word of the Lord that the angel bringing in this day, the messenger of the Lord, 64:4.
64:4?
Yes, sir.
Okay. 64:4 said, the Lord has looked upon his church to bless the faithful. Some have denied the Lord and his goodness. Some are full of doubt and are deprived of the joys of the Lord. Some will repent, others will go to destruction.
Okay. Now, let me see, is that the 7th verse? What is that, got the 64:7? Let me see, is that got, okay, 64 talks about faith. I made a, had to go there, 64. You see that verse? It's 64:5-7, where he says, in the word of the Lord, he says, in message 64, verse 8.
Yes. He says, the Lord has heard the prayers of his servants and his people, and will answer as their faith is.
Okay, read that again about the answers of prayer. And read that verse 8 again, because we need to center in on that, about answers.
The Lord has heard the prayers of his servants and his people, and will answer as their faith is.
You better read that again, brother. How, while certain prayers may not be slow coming, read on.
The Lord has heard the prayers of his servants and his people and will answer as their faith is.
He'll answer as their faith is. Is that has something to do with answers a lot of time, brother? About he'll answer as our faith is. According to your faith, right?
Right.
Said unto you. According to your faith, Jesus said, to many cases, not in every case, but a lot of the cases, says, be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. Woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Rise and walk, your faith has made you whole. Now, in every case, he didn't say that, because in many cases, their faith didn't make their whole. It was God's anointing and Jesus' gift that made them whole, not their faith. So everybody... It's not going to be whole by their faith, because they may not have the level of faith. But two ways they can get answered. God sovereignly move upon them by the gifts of the Holy Spirit and give them deliverance, or somebody in his feet and stand for them so their faith, they can receive an answer. Some people can stand in you and have faith for you. Now, a lot of people don't know that people can stand for you and in behalf of you for you get your deliverance. You remember the man that was crippled and let him down through the roof?
Right.
The crowd, and they couldn't get to Jesus, so they went to the top of the roof and let the man down on a stretcher. And as they were letting him down, Jesus looked up and he said he saw their faith. The man didn't have faith for himself, but he said he saw their faith. So somebody else's faith can help you get delivered, right?
Yeah.
Because Jesus looked and saw their faith. So other people's faith can stand for you. I know a lot of people talk of that proxy stuff. I don't worry about that. I just go by what the Bible said, brother. I don't worry about what people say. I just say what the Bible said. All right. Let's see about relationship. Why is relationships important? Let's go to John 1 and 12. If we're going to fight and win, we have to be sure about our relationship with God. John chapter 1, verse 12. Relationship is the key thing, your relationship with God. Let's see. Knowing what your relationship with the living God, John 1 and 12.
The word said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name.
Why didn't he say, many to believe them, he gave them power to be a Protestant, a Catholic, a Episcopalian, or this or that? Why didn't he say that?
Because the most important thing is your relationship as a son.
So the devil is not impressed with you because you call yourself a Baptist, a Methodist, a Episcopal. That don't impress him. It don't impress God either. Because your personal relationship as a son is the key. Our relationship is going to determine whether we have many victories. You must know, be sure of your relationship with the personal relationship with God. Hallelujah. You can say, well, I go to church, and I'm a member of so-and-so. That ain't personal relationship. I want to get that straight. That's not a personal relationship as a known, redeemed child of God. This must come by the new birth. The personal relationship comes through a new birth. Is that right? What did he tell Nicodemus? What did Jesus say to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John? What did he tell Nicodemus?
You must be born of the water and of the Spirit.
So it's not sufficient just to be a member of something or a part of something. You must be birthed into it. You must be birthed into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's the only way you can get into relationship in the kingdom of God. Now, your relationship determines when you fight a battle. When you're fighting a battle, it's very important that you know your relationship. All right, let's see how relationship with God, personal relationship. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 17. Your personal revelation of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is going to determine where you stand and when you fight a battle, you must know who you are. And you must know your relationship, especially when you're facing difficult things and mountains and devils and demons and witches and problems and sickness and disease. You must know your relationship with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 17.
The word said, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
Wow. Relationship. Okay. You must identify who you are when you're fighting a battle or fighting the devil. You must know for sure who your identity, who you are in Christ. You must know this and be sure of this. Then, in order to keep yourself in the will of God, to keep yourself in the will of God, to keep yourself in the will of God, let's go to 1 John chapter 1. First epistle of John in chapter 1. This is called fellowship. You must, as a son or child, you must keep yourself in fellowship with the living God daily, daily, daily. 1 John chapter 1, begin the 1-7. You must keep yourself in fellowship. You can't just come to Jesus and say, okay, I gave my heart to Jesus, and walk and live anyway, and not live in fellowship with God and through Christ, through the Word. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, I came to Christ, and they're walking all bow-legged and everything, brother, and walking all raggedy and kind of worldly and kind of walking this way and halfway, because they think that their fellowship with God, their walk with God, is not going to stop them from being blessed or delivered. Well, if you don't walk in daily fellowship with the Lord, with a right mind and a right heart, let's see what 1 John says. First chapter 1.
The Word of God said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Now notice.
And these things.
I just want to stop there because see, there's an argument and a controversy. Notice what John says. Our fellowship is with who?
Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Oh. My fellowship in Christ is with the Father and his Son through the Holy Ghost. Understand that? This is where the revelation of real understanding about our relationship. And John explains this, that John is the enlightened one, the beloved one. He says, our fellowship is with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. You'll find out it's through the Holy Spirit and the blood of the New Testament, through the blood. This is how we obtain and keep our fellowship with the Lord. Okay? Then it tells us what else he says.
And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all.
Okay. God is light, and in him there is no what?
No darkness at all.
No darkness. So whenever there is a darkness in your life as a believer, you must remove it if you plan on winning a battle or fighting against the devil. Hello out there.
Amen.
I know we're working on our soul salvation every day, trembling, but you must keep yourself pure, unspotted from the sins of the world. You know, it's so easily, if you're not careful, to get spotted with the sins of the world, right?
Amen. Amen.
And you have to watch who you associate with in Christ. You can't fellowship with everybody because you got some weak people who are trying to lead you in some sin, right?
Amen.
And they're good people, but they're just weak. And they're not fully submitted to Christ. And they'll lead you, oh, this ain't no harm, Brother Nate. This ain't no harm. We're going to go to this little thing here. Ain't no harm. God wants us to have a good time. So we're going to creep over there and have our lunch over there and take a little beer and listen to a little music with the rest of the sinners. And then we're going to get a little jive on ourselves, you know. Hey, hey, hey. Right? And brother,
yeah.
I don't think God mind me smoking a cigarette because he want me to be a smoke snack. He don't mind that, do it. Make me a smoke snack.
Yeah.
So, come on, take a cigarette, bro. You all right? You're all good. So you want to keep yourself in the love of God and keep yourself in the light because there is no darkness in him. Is that right? No darkness at all?
That's right.
Okay, fellowship. Let's go to your position in Christ. You must know your position. When you fight a battle and fight the devil and fight a mountain, you must be sure of your position in Christ. It cannot be no maybe. You must know your relationship, and you must have your fellowship, walk daily with God, and you must know your position. When you work for a company, you must know your position. Is that right?
That's right.
You must know your position in that place. In Christ, you must know your position in him. I'm not talking about the words like I'm a usher or I'm a band member. That's not a position in Christ. I mean, that's works in the church. I'm talking about your personal position as a son of a child of God in Christ. Because why? You, from your position, you get authority and power. Let me say this again. From your position in Christ or your place in Christ, that's where your authority and power comes from. Let me say this again. You must know your position in Christ, suffered and died to purchase for you in him, in the kingdom. You must know your position in Christ in order to have authority and power to operate from. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, Ephesians chapter 2, 4 and 7, talks about your spiritual authority and position in Christ. Because when you face the winds and the storm and difficulty, you must know your position. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 7.
The words of a God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Now, where we, wait a minute now, hold on now, brother. I'm a usher. That's all I know. I'm on the prayer band. That's good. I'm not talking. I cook chicken in the kitchen. I help in the church. I clean. Those are good works. Those are good things. But they don't give you power and authority to overcome sin and overcome the devil. See, here you can't face the devil and face mountains because you're an usher, you do works in the church, or you're a prayer band, or you're a helper, you bring water to the pastor. Those are good works. That's good. But a position of authority, when you face a problem, a mountain of the devil, you can't say to that mountain, I'm an usher. Won't work, brother.
Amen.
It won't work with you. Well, I cook in the kitchen. I'm faithful to sweep the floor. Those are good works. But that's not a spiritual position, because Satan does not respect that because you're Ursa. He'll knock your brains off. So I'm talking to him. Well, you know, I'm a good, I open the door. That's good. I'm one that opens the door clean. You're doing a good work. But when it comes to spiritual things, Satan only respects authority and power. What do we expect? When you're talking to a mountain, you must speak with faith and authority. You can't say, mountain, move, because I'm an usher. Bro, you think that's going to work?
No, that's not going to work.
It's not going to work, huh? So you can't use your good works. You must come from a position of your position in Christ. Your authority come from your position and place in Christ. Read that again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 7. You must know you're seated. Know what he said? I'm seated in heavenly places. That means divine authority and place in the kingdom. Read it again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 7.
But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love,
mm-hmm.
wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Now, in the president cabinet, he has Secretary of State of Defense. Now, they have a power and authority in that position. The president is the head. They said Jesus is the head. He's the head of the body. And he got people in the body, like us, who are kings and priests and sons and daughters. And we must know that when our relationship, our fellowship, and our position in Christ, but when the enemy attacks, or when trouble comes, or difficulty, a mountain comes, you must know your position in Christ that he has placed you in and redeemed you to purchase for you in the body of Christ. Your position is where your authority and power come from. Now, the use of sonship authority. Let's see why the devil don't want you to learn how to use your sonship authority. Because every born-again saved child must know, not that he's a church member, because the devil, you can't attack a problem by saying, I'm a member of a church. Now, I'm talking about you being a part of the body of Christ, but you must know something if you're going to win battles and victory. When you're facing the storms of life and the difficulties and mountains and the valleys and the power of darkness and sorcery and demons and difficulty, when you're talking about facing another kingdom of darkness to win battles, let's see, you must know your authority as sons. Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 18, verse 16 to 19. You must not beg. We have to stop the church from this begging. Matthew chapter 18, verse 16 to 19. Your authority to bind. Most people don't know God has given his sons power in heavenly places to do certain things, and they don't know it. And Satan is so glad. Matthew 18, 16, he's just hopping mad because he want to keep us in ignorance. Matthew chapter 18, 16 and 19.
The word said, but if he were not here, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses everywhere may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Now notice that the main thing about not only a relationship, keeping yourself in the fellowship, but he said whatsoever, this is talking about authority. Whatsoever you bind on, what he says? Whatsoever you bind. Now,
on
this
earth
is not just about one thing like people think it is, but it's talking about also talking about your authority, whatsoever you bind on earth bound in heaven. It's not talking about just securing a relationship, a person that's broken a relationship only. It's talking about your authority in the kingdom against powers of darkness, against evil works and evil. Whatsoever you bind. Did it say that? Whatsoever you bind?
That's right.
Did it say whatsoever you beg?
I said whatsoever you bind on earth.
Whatsoever you plead.
No, whatsoever you bind on earth.
Then where is it going to be bound at?
It's going to be bound in heaven.
And then whatsoever you, what, loose?
Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven.
Okay, got time to go into binding and loosing. Let's go over and see a little bit about what the ability of Christ has given us. The supernatural ability to those that in the Holy Ghost. Luke 10 and 17. Now, this supernatural ability comes with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This supernatural, we have ability when we are born again of the water and the Spirit, but there is a higher step and a higher level when you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Luke 10 and 17. That's why the devil don't want us to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Oh, child, I got enough. I don't need no more. Okay. I know John the Baptist didn't feel that way, and Jesus didn't feel that way. So, amen. Luke 10 and 17. The supernatural ability in Christ. Luke 10 and 17.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and of all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
That's something else, ain't it, brother?
Amen.
The devil does not want us to come to that, do it. Understand that.
Amen.
He just wants us to keep us begging, keep us in the begging mode and saying, I'm just a church member. I'm just a little servant. Yeah, that may be true. But when you're talking about war and battles, I say when it comes to war and battles and victory, the war you got to step up, ain't it?
Amen.
Okay, let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The weapons that we are given. Why are we Christians are not aware of the weapons they're given them and why they don't learn how to use the weapons of their warfare? 2 Corinthians 10. Listen, we're in a war against another kingdom. We're against war against Satan, war against our flesh, and against the evil of this world. Weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We're in a deadly war now. We see it all over the nation, the world, this spiritual war going on. This is what we're looking at, all the trouble. It's a war, a spiritual war. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. But see, what we're But people don't understand what's going on with the nation. It's a spiritual war. Read on.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Do you think, brother, that a born-again, blood-washed son need to understand why God gave him weapons that are not of an earthly sort? Do you think that's important, that he learn the use and ability of these weapons that is given to the redeemed church? That's important?
It is very important.
Weapons. What are weapons for?
Protection, for combat, for fighting.
Do you think the average Christian knows anything about the weapons of this warfare and the use of them? Do you think the average believer knows anything about them or using them?
No, in fact, I think that many of the average believers don't know of it personally. I believe they know through what they've heard, but I don't think they know personally.
I think that there's a few that have heard, but then I heard that I know that many have not really heard nor examined it nor enter into it to put it to use. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, tell us something. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, tells us something important if we are going to win every battle and every difficulty, hallelujah, and reveal that Christ is the real risen Savior and warrior. Ephesians chapter 1 and 3.
The word said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Now, what has he done when Christ rose and redeemed us? He's done what?
Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Wow. Availability. Now, all of these things help us to shine and glorify, magnify, and obtain the victory that Satan and the world is constantly trying to take from the believers. And God intended for us to walk in faith and victory. Let us declare this. The Lord intended for us to walk in faith and victory. The Lord God intended for us to walk in faith and victory. Now, there's a handicap.
Amen.
There is a big handicap that we find. The handicap is what? Ignorance and fear. This is what Satan uses. He wants us to remain ignorant and in fear. Say ignorance and fear. Ignorance and fear. He wants you to remain ignorant to what God has redeemed and what Christ paid for you to have and to operate in. He wants us to Christians. That's why Satan has so much power in the earth. You know why he got so much power in the earth? Not only because just open sin, that's one of the reasons. But he wants the Christian church to remain ignorant of what? Of their authority and their power of dominion and the power to bind and bind to cast out, to take dominion. As long as you're ignorant of that and you're operating in fear and you're believing the traditions of men, well, you know, we're just little helpless servant down here and doing the best we can and we're just scared and just trying to scrape by. Mm-hmm. You haven't come to understand who you are in Christ. This is our handicap, ignorance and fear and traditions. All right. Let's do a declaration of faith. Let's go to Psalms 107. Let's do a simple test that this is not just something to look, but let's go to Psalms 107. Let's do a declaration of faith. Psalms 107. 6 and 7. Psalms 107, verse 6 and 7.
Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation.
Wow. Go to verse 19 and 20.
Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
Let's go to Psalms 103.
Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Listen, those are declarations we have to declare and embrace. We, as believers, are going to have to meditate in the word day and night. Hear the preached word, the taught word, the exalted, the prophetic word, the word in prayer, the word that we receive when we fellowship with God, the word that we are received through revelation, through visions and dreams, to help us to perfect ourselves to have victory. Satan, sin, death, and the grave has been defeated. Satan, sin, death, and the grave have been defeated by our Lord. Satan, sin, death, the grave has been defeated by our Lord Jesus. We have a choice to believe it or not. I said we have a choice to believe it or not, to act on it.
Yeah.
I said we as believers have a choice to believe and act on it or not. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser and a killer, a murderer, a destroyer. He will continue to overthrow and overcome you as long as you remain in ignorance and not know that Jesus Christ won complete victory over Satan, sin, death, hell, and the grave. Satan is the father of lies. You must counteract and know the truth and act in the truth. A lot of people don't study the word. They don't hear the word, right?
Right.
Too much, right? A lot of
right.
Christians are kind of lazy, right?
Right.
Well, I'll say it, because I know
yeah.
myself the struggle I had. A lot of Christians, they don't want to study the word for themselves. They might run to church on Sunday and hear a good sermon. That's about it, a lot of them. But I want to tell you that's not enough by itself. The preached word is important, the taught word. The inspired word by the preacher is important. But you must have a personal relationship with the word and study to show yourself approved unto God and rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't meditate in the word like some said day and night, what do you think David said, meditate in the word day and night, Psalms 1? What do you think he said that, brother?
Why did he say it? So we can be rooted in the word. We got to have it.
Because the word of God is a sword and a weapon. The word of God is a light and a lamp to my feet. It's an instructor,
Amen.
A discerner of thoughts. It's a revelation of the truth. The word of God is a foundation which you build upon. It's the truth.
Amen.
It's the power of God through which the Holy Ghost works through the word. You have these weapons, his name, his blood, his word. You have your authority as sons of God. You have the angels of God, the promise of God, the covenant of God, the weapons of God. You guarantee us victory through faith with patience. With patience. Because victory don't always come immediately. So you have to hold fast your confession. The healing and deliverance don't happen immediately, so you must have faith with patience. You must have faith with patience. People lose hope because things don't happen immediately. People give up when things don't happen instantly, brother. So you must learn faith with patience. Is that right?
Amen.
To hold fast the confession of your faith when you're fighting the battle or making a decree. Stand. All right, any sister out there? Oh, I guess they all have dinners, huh? I guess they're spending time with their family and loved ones on a missionary journey. Hallelujah. So thank God that on the weekend, sometimes they have to spend time with the families and loved ones and go places. And I guess some of them going to the rodeo.
We got sister Helen and Sister Anderson here. God bless you all.
God bless you, brother.
God bless.
Welcome, dear beloved sisters. Is anybody ready to go on a journey to Russia right now? Just ask it. That's all. I know. American Christians, they comfortable. Yeah, we're really comfortable, you know. Thank you, Jesus. We were just talking about ready for battle to win the victory
and not lose.
Now, if you want to pray agreement with the sisters, y'all can, whatever you want to say, go ahead. Just your minutes left. I took most of your minutes, but I had to get that out. We thank God for your faithfulness. We thank you for Sister Helen and Sister Lalaine hanging really tough and hanging on the broadcast and being with us. And we just commend you, Priscilla and Phoebe. And, you know, you don't always get Priscilla's and Phoebe's. You get different people with different measure of dedication and dedication. Everybody don't have the same dedication. And we love them the same. But we want to say to you all, Sister Anna, you're courageous and bold. And Sister, you're courageous and bold. And I don't put anybody down, but I'm just saying when you find courageous and bold soldiers, we have to commend them. And we commend you for your faithfulness and being bold enough to stand with us to declare the restored gospel and the coming of the messenger John in the spirit of Elijah. So we just want to, say that. I like to give people their flowers in honor of whom honor is due when it's due. So I appreciate Brother Nate and your praying and listening. And we want to thank you, Sister, for being commending you for your diligence and dedication to stand. We would to God that in time there will be other women who have boldness and courage will come. And like Sister Crockett or Mother Dees or Sister Clark, you know, those kind of courageous soldiers you don't always get too often, do you?
Amen.
We love all, but everybody don't have the same depth of commitment and dedication. That's all. I mean, that's what we're saying. But women and men like Mother Cage, her sister Elaine, or her sister Clark, Dees, Crockett, Lee, who was Terry Janina Lee at the time, they had a strange kind of debt of commitment, like you all. You all are the two leftovers, the holdovers. But the ones that had the scepter in their hand, they gone on to be with the Lord. So I just commend those sisters and that you all are still hanging tough like they were.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. They held, and it had a special place in Christ and in the kingdom of God that you don't find too often. They were, you know, bold and courageous and daring. And so just like you all have that daring, courage, and faithfulness, we want to say thank God for you and for the grace of God that's working in your life. Continue to move forward. Don't get hindered by because you happen to be a female. You can't reveal Christ and help people. Don't get hung up with that tradition. You are ministers of God. And I'm going to say this by the grace and the word of God. You are ministers of the kingdom of God. No, you're not ordained ministers. No, you don't have to be ordained, call out leaders. But everyone in the body of Christ is a minister and a priest of a salt. In the New Testament, all the body redeemed is called sons and daughters, and you are a company of priests and ministers of God, said the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. You are a holy nation, to call out people, a redeemed people. And so every part of the body of Christ, male and female, are called out to minister the grace of God. You don't have to be ordained to an office, which people are confused. You don't have to be an apostle, a bishop, or ordained to an office to be a minister in the New Testament church. Mm-hmm. People don't understand. That's why the devil's got so much power on the earth, because we don't understand our position in Christ. And the devil want to keep us, I'm just a door hoper, and I just, you know, I just cook chicken, or I clean the church. Mm-hmm. And those are good and admirable things. But the devil want to keep the whole body just cleaning the church, and the rest of the body, well, you're not really sons and daughters, so you can't do anything. You can't cast out devils. Mm-hmm. You can't heal the sick. You can't stand in the gap for nations. You can't do that. Are you not the body of Christ?
Amen. Yes.
Are you not the redeemed in Christ?
Amen.
Are you not sons and daughters?
Yes. True. Yes. Amen.
Well, what do sons and daughters do in the last days? I pour out my spirit upon my what, sons and daughters, or just did he say sons?
Sons and daughters.
Amen. That don't mean you have to get up and get out of your place. That don't mean that. You know, you're still under authority. And you're subject to your husband's authority. You're subject to the pastor's authority, the apostle's authority. But you are seated in Christ in heavenly place. And nobody can take that from you. Amen.
Amen.
Now,
thank you.
We're going to have to start acting like sons and daughters in the last days. We don't have to start acting that son, because Satan is making his move all over the earth. And he's taking dominion, chaos, confusion in every, practically every community, every state, every city. So we're going to act like we're seated in heavenly places. Now, right now, you see Satan in the power of kingdom of darkness is in conflict around the world. He's killing Christians everywhere he can find them in the dark world of Far East. He's killing and murdering and putting them in jail and got them under bondage in all these nations. Just ain't got to America yet.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So while we got this liberty, let's use it.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
While we got this freedom, you know what they say, and we get to church, while I got this time, I believe I'll testify. While I got this time, I believe I'll sing my song. May not get this chance anymore.
Amen.
All right. As we go off, we're going to exercise in these few minutes our position in Christ. We're going to start on the primary. When you're in school, you start out on the primary level.
Yeah.
The learning level. But you got to start, we got to start somewhere.
Amen.
We're going to practice what Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament church, because this is the time of the restoration of all things. See, a lot of people don't understand what that means. They think that John just comes just only to give the priesthood authority, but he comes to give light and understanding. See, here's the part they don't understand. He didn't just come and give the priesthood. He came with revelation of light and understanding to enlighten you, to reveal to you the work of the kingdom and of Christ. And this is the part that we missed. Hallelujah. He came to give priesthood authority, but he didn't come to give sonship authority, because people that are born of the Holy Spirit already have sonship authority.
Amen.
Anybody get that?
Okay.
Amen.
When you're born of the Holy Ghost, and people of the Holy, you have sonship, relationship, and authority. You don't have to be ordained to get that. As men as believe and receive him, he gives them the rights to be sons of God. Because as men as born of the Spirit, you are the sons of God. Now, that means you have son authority. Don't need to be ordained to a priesthood authority, because you have relationship and sonship authority. Do you get that?
Yes.
Amen.
Now, thank you, Jesus. We're going to bind one thing over nature. What we want to lose? Let's see. Anybody? What a particular area? Anyone? Because we've got a few minutes. Just a few minutes.
Yes, India.
Okay. Don't be worried about man his thinking.
Amen.
Get give respect to whom respect is due, but don't fearing what man's, you know, you're under authority. If you have a fear that your husband may mack, you can say, okay, husband is okay with you. But you have the authority of Brother Nate. You're under his authority on this place, and you're loose to obey the things of God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And don't worry. Be fearful like that some of the people are there scared. They're so scared. I understand I have mercy on them because they are afraid. They've been taught that way. They're afraid. That's why the enemy has done so much, because people are such fear and tradition. They think that the only people that can do something is the people that hold priesthood authority. They think that that's what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not actual.
Yeah.
That's not true. That's not true.
Amen.
That's not true. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, we're acting as we come to an end to every place.
Yes,
we ask that the Holy Spirit help us.
Yes, Lord.
We ask that the Holy Spirit help us as we go off.
Yes,
and we're going to
Lord.
Focus on
yes,
Tanzania and Kenya, Africa and Africa. And we go to Tanzania and Turkey. And, Lord, we're going to stand for those people in those places. And we're going to stand as we go off for those nations that's having difficulty, oppression, fear,
yes,
and tyranny,
yes,
and those areas where Satan is trying to stop the gospel.
Yes, yes, Lord. Jesus.
The gospel of Christ. We take authority and dominion over those areas.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Yes, Lord. We are more than one.
Yes, Lord. Thank Jesus. Yes, more
we
than
all
one.
We all four stand
yes,
up in faith with the authority
yes,
of our position
yes,
in Christ, and speak for
yes,
those
yes,
nations that the kingdom
yes,
of God
yes,
must come. The
yes,
kingdom
yes,
of God must go.
Yes,
the power
yes,
of God is there. The angels of God, the hand
yes,
of God is there. We release
yes,
deliverance.
Yes.
And victory over darkness and oppression.
And oppression.
We release light and truth at the gospel of liberty and freedom over these places. We counteract the powers of territorial demons and darkness and cancel their assignment. We release the warring angels to go forth to break the power of the territorial demons that control these nations. Cast down the enemy. Bind the strong man. Release the opportunity for the gospel and the visitation of the Lord Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus counteract. The blood of Jesus be released. The blood of Jesus, the atonement, be over. The blood of the Lamb be over these places.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Bring a new visitation in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against us shall not prosper. Peace and deliverance in Jesus' name. Over these places. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Thank
praise
you, Jesus.
To God. Thank God for the blessed broadcast today. Thank God
thank
for
you,
all
Jesus,
you that have been listening. May the Lord continue to bless you, your family, and your loved ones. Don't forget, we will continue with Blog Talk Radio, another God's Word to Man broadcast tomorrow. Look for the advertisement there. Praise
Jesus
be to God. So, once again, we thank God for all of you that have been listening. That's for Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Sister Tig and Sister Anderson. We love you all. God bless. God keep you.
God bless you.
We give you glory. We give you all.